does it mean an old song sang by someone who is carrying the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Do you know that Mary had an interesting scenario put upon her? In receiving what Jesus had said and knowing what he was going to do or what he was going to be doing with his life, she was in the position of carrying something great. How many of you have thought, I wonder why I was born? I wonder why I was here? I wonder why I have come and been made part of this world? What is my position in it? Well, Jesus came with a purpose. He came with the reality of knowing who he was and what he was doing from the beginning. The reality for me is to think about Mary as a servant of God and what, how I might be also a servant of God. How would I respond to what God has done and said and wanting me to walk in? This was prophesied by Isaiah. It was pronounced by Mary in a song, the purpose of God, and even preached by Paul. There's a specific purpose that God ordained for Jesus. And I want to make a connection today. There's a specific purpose for you in what Jesus has done. In Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah speaks of the purpose of a newborn king. A specific purpose, not something that's unseen or unknown. He speaks of something that releases an understanding of what he was here to do. He was here to establish the eternal kingdom of righteousness and justice. Righteousness and justice sounds very regal, doesn't it? Let's read it from Isaiah. This is what was prophesied. This is the hope that was released to Israel, but beyond Israel to us. Of the increase of the government, speaking of Jesus, and the peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over the kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice, with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. We read a little bit of that last week, that it's going to extend forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This was not to be an act of man, but an act of God. So Mary finds herself betrothed, which means engaged, but now with child, in a society where that was seen as completely unacceptable. And so she does what is necessary. She's not yet living with her husband. She's not in a place where she's housed, and she's pregnant. So she goes and stays with relatives, Zechariah and Elizabeth. And while the world might have received that, she goes up to the hill country. She goes out of Nazareth. She wants to be in a place where she's away from it all and carrying what God has given her. She doesn't want to be a spectacle. But think about this. How Elizabeth and Zechariah receive her makes a huge difference to how she's going to feel about what she's carrying, right? Pregnant, out of wedlock, in a society that doesn't accept it. Fleeing to the hills to find some solace and someone who might understand her. She arrives, and of course Elizabeth receives her. She's actually pregnant with John the Baptist. And the baby leaps in her, and it says the Holy Spirit comes upon her, and she declares to Mary, "Blessed are you among all women." She receives her. And the response, which we hear Joanna read today, is what happens when Mary, in her heart, responds to being received. She could have been rejected. She gets received by that family member. And that family member can only receive her because the Holy Spirit has come upon her and given her the ability to engage what God's doing in her life. And of course, the months are different because they understand together. This is a big deal. Elizabeth is carrying John, who will make the way for Jesus. Mary is carrying Jesus, who will make the way for us. And this prophecy of Isaiah, this old prophecy, nearly 600 years before, makes it clear that Jesus' purpose was known. Imagine if your purpose from the day you were born was known. Wouldn't that make a difference? Wouldn't that make a difference to what you lived out or what you chose to live out or how you lived it? Much less if you were a king, someone who was born to reign, being prepared, readied, engaged for what God has called you to. Imagine that if you were born with a specific purpose. that you lived out for the rest of your life, rather than wondering, what am I here for? How am I meant to live this out? What's the expectations of others? Comparing and those sort of things. But this king, I want you to hear, in everything we read, and even in the passage that was read, justice. He was to carry justice, a divine authority to change things, a divine authority to equalize, to sort out, as Trina prayed before, to deliver. Not a law of fear, but a law of love. To be just is to be perfectly, in a godly sense, is to be perfectly lawful. Not trying to find out the facts, but knowing the truth. And the law of love being delivered. Righteousness. We hear about him being a righteous king. That's divine purity. When we talk to one another and maybe try and engage one another on how well we're doing, you're this, you're that, how are you going with this, how are you going with that, we're actually equating how we're going in relation to one another. But King Jesus is pure and righteous, and there is no sin. He is other. He is set apart. He is the perfect specimen, and this is what he was called to be. And not just for now, but forevermore. What about this word zeal? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. When zeal is referred to in God, it is a divine might. It is without equal. It means that there is no other who can overcome it. He overcomes everything else. God's perfect, sovereign wisdom. His way, his will, his work. This is what was available to Jesus, made known to him. What was pronounced, so we have it prophesied by a prophet nearly 600 years before Jesus' coming. And it releases hope for those who would take hold of it. That's what prophecy is meant to do, release hope. It's not the actualization of it, it releases hope for it. It keeps us in a straight line for the purpose that was to be achieved. But what we hear from the scripture that was read is that Mary was pronouncing its imminent coming. This is happening now. It's not just hope. It's actually now faith received. Mary was the first to receive faith that this was the moment. This king, this righteousness, this justice, this zeal that was going, this might, not might of man or woman, but the might of God was going to come to set things right. That pronouncement that Mary makes is not just the response of the joy of a mother, it is the response of the joy of a mother carrying the Messiah. The Holy Spirit came upon her to convince her. You know, some think faith is us working it up to being able to believe something. But actually, it's about us believing something and then seeing faith come. Mary had to grapple with the fact that an angel turns up and says, "You are carrying the Messiah." She can either believe it or reject it. But imminently, that faith is going to be lived out, and imminently, it's going to become more clear that she's carrying the Messiah. But there's something about Mary's disposition that is similar to Jesus. And we talked about this last week. She's humble in her response. "Lord, let it be to me as your word has said. I'll give up my will and I'll take on yours. You are mighty. You are sovereign. You are righteous. It's your will. It's your way. It's your wisdom. I receive your wisdom. And I respond to that." It leaves us with this first revelation, and the first of three I'm going to bring to you today. Revelation 1 about our newborn king is that King Jesus will reign like his father, the Father God. His father wasn't Joseph, it was God, the Father. He will reign like his father. The Father God is righteous, he is just, and he has a zeal for his people, a jealousy that they would know him and love him. The first revelation that comes through Mary is a pronouncement that King Jesus will reign like his father. He will not be like the kings of this world. And each one of us maybe has a little king on throne at some stage. And we don't have to look very far to find it. But the pronouncement was there was a king coming. He was magnified. Think about the song that Mary sings. She says, I magnify the Lord. I magnify. I praise him with all my being. Mary is overjoyed. Her response is one of being overjoyed. And when she finds someone to reciprocate, she can't help it. She bursts out with a song. This person has received me and I will sing and I will resound with my family about what is happening. Her response to the angel is that she's got to wrestle to believe. Her response to Elizabeth is that now I have faith that God is working out his purpose in my life. Elizabeth, she confirmed for Mary what was needed to release a song that would prophesy again to the future of Israel, the future even down to us. She starts off magnifying the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. It's personal. She starts from a personal place. I realize what this has done for me. But then she goes on and she starts exclaiming what it will mean for everyone else. His mighty ways. He's a mighty God. He is mighty. He is righteous. He is just. He is mighty, not just in the way that he will do things for himself. He will do them for us. He is a savior. He wants to save. He is a king. He wants to reign over our lives so that we experience the peace and the joy that his father desired and loved. But he is mighty. And he is mighty because he is faithful. When she says, and his mercy is for those who fear him for generation to generation. If you're holding on to God, you're holding on to his promises, then his mercy is holding on to you. And his grace is powerful. He is powerful. He has shown his strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. You see, God responds to the humble. He responds to those who humble themselves before him. As Trina was saying earlier, as we just come before him, recognize him as our Father and our King, just that heart disposition suddenly changes our gaze. We look up rather than inward for the answers and for the kingdom. He is mighty because he's faithful and he's powerful in ways that we have not seen in this world. When someone wants to be powerful in this world, they dominate others. And they try to deliver something. But in his world, where he'd come from, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, no, they come from a place where you give, you lay down, and you open up a way for others. He is righteous, which means that he is both exalted by God, the Father, and exalting of us. He will lift us up. He will raise us up. He's not a king who dominates. He wants us to share in his great victory, to bring us into his presence, to be alongside. He wants to exalt those who have been through the mill and respond by giving them his kingdom. He is just. He has filled the hungry with good things, Mary says. Filled the hungry with good things. They came hungry, and he comes with what they need. Jesus won't always do what we want, he'll do what we need. He will come, and he will set things in a way that they are right. Justice will come. In this world, many try to do fairness. If we just make everything fair, it will be okay. But actually, what we need is justice. We need things put right in us and around us. And it's through the King of Kings. This is the type of kingdom that we are talking about. So she pronounces what this king will look like. I don't know about you, but that brings peace to my heart. If he's going to be like the Father God, loving, kind, generous, open-hearted, willing to give his life, okay, I can receive this king. But his purpose is powerfully unfolded by one of his closest disciples, John. When we see the purpose of God, we hear it from the love of God perspective. well-known verses, and I just wanted to put these before you today because these are powerful truths about the purpose God has for Jesus and the purpose of his love for us. He was prophesied, he was pronounced, but he was purposed from the moment he came. God loved us first by giving his son. We know this verse, we hear it. Maybe it's not as familiar as it used to be. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into this world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Not saved through an idea of him, a concept of him, his very person and in relationship with him. God loved us first. The purpose of God was to be able to love his people and them love in return. So on this basis, the Son gives up his life that we might know love. God says, here's my Son. This is my expression of love, that he will give his life for you. But then the Son actually does it. Humbles himself and says, I'll give my life. I'll come as a newborn baby in a manger, go through everything that those humans have to go through on earth. I'll go through all the pain, suffering, challenges. I'll experience it all, and I will walk with my eyes on you with a set purpose, without wavering, and I will walk through a way that they can follow and make a way back to you, because I want them to know the love we have. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. Just so we know what type of love we're talking about. We're not talking about, you know, how you maybe log your dog or cat or your car or your, you know, your goldfish, whatever it is. We're talking about, and goldfish is all created by God, so very precious and important. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about a love that needs and requires someone to lay down their life. You see, wherever we go in this story for the last 3 weeks, there's us decreasing by choice. Not because someone tells us to, dominates, makes us decrease, decreases us, but because we willingly choose it. Jesus willingly chooses and says, I want them to know your love, so I am going to decrease from my status, heavenly status, and I am going to release the fullness of God in humankind. The answer wasn't to trust humans less. It was to trust them more with more of who they were. Isn't that profound? Listen to these verses. Because purpose is about how love responds in every circumstance. Through belief in Jesus, this is for us, we can truly love others. If you've been wondering how on earth you're going to get through Christmas and love the people you need to love, and maintain sanity around the dinner table, and cope with really bad jokes, and not just act like you like them, but actually love the people who are saying them or reading them. So this is definitely not true with the amount of facial expressions in the room, I can see. He wants to help us with how we love others. Jesus is the central person. When we believe in him, listen to this, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another just as he commanded us. Now, for those who are slaves to things, when someone commands something, it's like an order, isn't it? I have to do this. It's like a book of rules. But when you're a son and daughter, and you've been brought into his presence and into his love, and you know that you are a child of God, then this is an amazing wisdom that comes to us. I am receiving a command from my Father, and it is to love others. And I know how he loves, so I want that to flow through my life. And that was what Jesus was wanting us to be able to operate. He's like, man, you guys can't love the way we love until you have known love. This is the purpose. So Jesus' life, his whole purpose was that we might know the life and love of God. The way that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit knew the reality of their love. So that we would not have to look anywhere else for it, but we would be able to give it freely. We've talked about the plan for the fullness of time, that this was not just a moment. It was a plan for the fullness of time. We have talked about the reality of what it takes that Jesus laid down his life as a servant, came to earth that he might be born, he may die, he may be resurrected so that we might be able to walk free of all of the things that have caused us to be slaves and allow us to be children of God. This is the moment. The purpose was that love, the love of God, would be known. His kingdom, his judgment would be a good judgment. His earthly power would deliver justice, righteousness, and the fullness of the zeal of God, which is his will. Mary praises him for what will come. It's like past tense. She's already singing about it. She's seeing it. She's like, this is what's coming. She sings it as if it's happened. Sometimes in our lives, we need to look beyond the circumstance and sing it on the other side. Sing through the issue. But we do need someone to agree with us. We need an Elizabeth to come with us and say, I'm jumping with what you're jumping with. I'm full of the Holy Spirit and I'm agreeing with you. The circumstances aren't looking good. But Jesus loves this circumstance. You see, when we, our central navigation system can easily get off if it's not focused on our purpose and who Jesus has made us to be. When our purpose gets away from loving people, it starts being about loving ourselves, our guidance positioning system gets right off. But the good news is, Jesus can map you back from anywhere. You can take 100 wrong turns. And as long as you're not finishing your life with those turns, then you have an opportunity to come back from anywhere. In fact, it's what he loves to do. His guidance positioning system is perfect, and he can map it from anywhere, and he can map it with the exact purpose that he's always planned. This is good news, friends. But his desire is that you would know the love of God, you would be loved by God, and that you would love others with that love. I want to be really clear about that. Anyone who does not love does not know God. Wow, what a statement by John. What a statement. Because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his Son into the world so that we might live through him. Not live for ourselves, not live through some other vantage point, not live through some other support system, live through him. He's very single focused, God. This is the way that you will live. Come into what my Son has done. But this is why we celebrate this newborn king. Because he was bringing a new way and a new worth to the world. Revelation 2 for today, in case you fell asleep while I was talking. Revelation 2, King Jesus' specific purpose is to deliver the Father's love. Let that be a headline on your heart. The specific purpose of Jesus is to deliver his love personally to you. Through the laying down of his life, I was willing to do anything for you to know the Father's love. So what we do now is what Paul did. We become those who, once we've received the good news that was prophesied and received it in faith, hey, I haven't seen this happen everywhere yet, but I'm on board for this to happen through my life, then we become those who preach it, like Paul. And maybe this season, there'll be an opportunity not to stand on a platform like this, but to sit around a table and say, I've met that love of God. I've known it, and I want to share it with you. But the good news resounds. Good news resounds. When someone shares it, it resounds in a different way to bad news, right? And some people can receive good news as bad news. That's a bit strange, isn't it? So I just want to prepare you for that. Because if you say Jesus' kingdom is coming, you're saying yours is imminently ending. And we know there's another character in the story, King Herod. He didn't cope too well with hearing there was a good, righteous, justice king coming. Because it meant whatever he was doing was ending. Isn't it funny that he knew with the same resonance that a baby was going to mean a big deal for his world? and his specific purpose. Was he given the opportunity to respond? Absolutely. What did he choose? Fear. The exact opposite of what God was choosing, which was love. So it's preached in Romans 8, 1 to 10, and I'm going to just talk through some verses, but mainly what actually is discussed here by Paul as he gets his heart and his head around what it means to live in the love and life of God. One of the most powerful scriptures you would ever hear, because the Spirit of God doesn't just want to come upon Elizabeth to make known that Jesus is there, or Mary to make known that she's carrying Jesus, but upon you today, so that your eyes and your heart would be opened and you would hear the good news and resonate with it. Paul talks and he starts off by saying, hey, salvation has come. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. He came to save us. He wasn't worried about condemnation being a problem. That was already there. He was worried about us being saved out of that place so that we don't have to live under condemnation anymore. The battle of the mind. I'll get back to that. The Son's salvation meant that we could walk in righteousness, stand in a right place with God, knowing how he loves us, how we love him, and how we can love others from that place. Justice. In verse 2, it says this of Romans 8, for the law of the Spirit of life, different law, Spirit of life, has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. You have come out of one form of law, sin and death, and into another, which is life eternal. These are big contrasts, aren't they? We get a picture of the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Paul's like, this is what's happened to us when we have received this kingdom. And do you know that the zeal of God, the wisdom of God, the power of God, the might of God was all so that we could be the Father's choice and choose him? It's still a choice. That freedom would not be freedom at all if it wasn't your choice. In Romans 8, verse 3, it says, for God has done what the law of sin and death, weakened by the flesh, could not do. We couldn't achieve it in our own strength. But sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, says Jesus, it doesn't say Jesus is sinful, it says in the likeness of what had happened, he condemns sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law of sin and death might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Maybe you need new eyes, like, to see your circumstances today. And like Elizabeth and Mary, the Spirit would come upon you, the Holy Spirit, to help you see what Jesus has truly done, to what Jesus will do, to look on the other side of your circumstances and speak and sing with the joy of God. Because what comes when humility comes on our lives, when we humble ourselves and sit before God and say, you're King, I'm not. I'm flesh, you're Spirit. And he comes upon us, is that humility. Then it engages God. He comes towards us and he wraps us and he says, come in to the place where I've walked and I will exalt you. I will lift you up. I will lift your head. I will sort out these circumstances. But you need to let him. It's a choice. And we will walk not according to the strength of our flesh to change things, but according to the strength of the Spirit that he put in us. This is a personal response, friends. That is very good news. And in verse 5, Paul says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. If it's all about this and how this feels and how this feels, then that's where our focus is. But if it's all about how God has transformed things and how he feels and what he's doing, then that's where our life is given. This is good news. With clarity of how it looks to live. Many people in our nation are struggling with the mind. Paul addresses it. 2,000 years ago, he addresses it. He says, to set the mind on the flesh is death. He's more blunt than we would be, probably. You set your mind to what you need and how you're feeling, and it will imminently go to thinking about how things end up for you. But this is the key. To set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Completely opposite. This is amazing. This is the good news, friends. He says even your mind can come under the will of God. Set it on Him. Set your heart on Him. Set your life for Him. Set your mind on Him. And He will release the Spirit's life and peace over you. The good news that Paul goes on to speak about is so powerful in verse 7 to 10, but I want to sum it up in this way. The power is that the separation of sin has been exposed and overcome through Jesus. This is what this baby born as a newborn king means for you and I. Shall we receive it? It's been exposed. What was separating us? Our own will. Our own passions, our own desires, doing stuff that was not in line with the purpose of God for our life has actually caused us to be separated from Him. Who knew? Everybody's out there telling you, do what feels good, do what you need, be who you want to be. Man, that causes so much stress and strain and comparison and challenge. And God's here saying, I've got a purpose for you. It's as specific as it was for Jesus, that you would know my love and you would walk in it towards others. In everything you do. Whatever job you have, whatever place you're born in, whatever you've walked through. Some of you might even think, well, you know, I was a mistake. My parents have told me that. Do you know what? Mistakes of man are only an opportunity for God to fulfill His purpose. Doesn't matter how you look at it. This is good news. Be released from the thing that was separating you from God the whole time. He takes away the hostility from us, Romans says, when we understand, you are the one loving me. You are the one waiting for me. You are the one making a way for me. Maybe you've been told. Maybe you're someone who doesn't believe in Jesus or hasn't been or just on a journey towards understanding faith. Maybe you've been told that Jesus has plans for you and that's a bad thing. Well, I'm telling you this morning, it's the best thing. Because others have got plans for you and they're not a good thing. Only those who walk with the fullness of what Jesus understands and says will have the heart that God has for you. The good thing that God says is this is a dwelling place He wants to come to. Not buildings made by man, but actually the living encapsulation of His people. You are the dwelling place of God, and it's now with you. That's the old song anyway. Emmanuel. He is with us. He is with us. He's working through us. Shall we respond to Him? And the life and the light and the love of God, eternal, not just momentary. We sometimes feel it in relationships when we experience some form of love towards us on earth. We feel it momentarily. We feel it for a certain amount of time. But we're talking about the eternal life. The eternal life. The eternal love of God. Being in us. Burning brighter and brighter, stronger and stronger, invading and overcoming us more and more each day. That's the love that Jesus purposefully died for. So Revelation 3 today that we have from this scripture is that King Jesus' desire is for you to know the Father's love. The King who is coming, that little baby born. I'd love for you to think about this Christmas, and as you're seeing carols and as you're hearing them in shops, not just to be annoyed by them in elevators, but actually to go, man, let that song rise up in me that says, I know the Spirit of God. I know His purpose. I know that means He came to love me, and I'm loved, and therefore I can love others. This is the good news, friends. So from this day forward, I was thinking about this phrase, from this day forward, what does this mean? As a preacher, you're preparing, and you're thinking, so this is preparing me. It's also working in me as I'm preparing. What does it mean from this day forward? From this day forward, if I know these things, what does it change for me? Well, from this day forward, I know a few things now. And you know them too. So I put we down there. We know The kingdom of righteousness, justice, and the power of God has come. Jesus, even if you look up the annals of time, was a human being who lived on this planet and walked the earth and had a profound impact. But now you know he was the Son of God. He was a righteous, just, eternal king. We are invited to know the light of the world, not just by a scripture read, but in person. The love of God personally and the life of the Spirit intimately. And we are specifically purposed. Jesus was specifically purposed. We are specifically purposed to carry the eternal peace, the joy, and the life of God to others. It comes to us as the benefits of what Jesus has done, but it goes out from us as a blessing for others. Remember Elizabeth's words to Mary? Blessed are you among all women. She blesses her. She's received the benefit and she blesses others. It's unlimited what God will do towards us, and it becomes unlimited what we can do from God towards others. This is the good news, friends. But I was thinking about, you know, what did Mary walk through? What got delivered through her life? And I was thinking about a carol. In fact, a line of a carol. Mary prepared him room, but actually this is what she was singing. Let earth receive her king. Let earth receive this king. I'm not carrying this specific purpose in vain. Let earth receive the king who wants to love and deliver his love through us. She received the gift of God. Maybe you want to receive that today. In full, fresh, maybe for the first time. The word is this. Embrace God's purpose humbly. We come towards him like a king. Great king. You have done this. You have delivered this. Deliver this in and through my life. Mary prayed or sung it in this way. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. Most of us would say, gee, what have I got to give this king? For behold, now, from now on all generations will call me blessed. Can that be your cry this morning? Your humble response to him is to come to him knowing, I embrace your godly purpose for my life humbly in this way. I know I am humbly stated before you. I don't have much to give the King of the universe. However, I know that I am blessed. So that our response can be to magnify the Lord personally. We're sitting in a corporate building online. You're joining us corporately. But it matters that this is personal. Jesus personally gave his life that you might know the love of the Father. Would you personally give your life to know that love and to know that future and give it to others? Mary's line is this, my soul magnifies the Lord. She humbles herself and then she exalts the Father. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. I could have stood up here today and said in a two-minute thing, God's purpose, specific purpose for Jesus was to be the Savior of the world. And everybody would have went, yep, I agree with that. But what we've learned today is that it's so much deeper. To be the Savior of the world meant love was coming to you, and love was coming in a way that was irrevocable, in the way that he saw you and wanted to see God's love work in you. My soul magnifies the Lord. Sometimes we've got to talk to our soul and say, get up and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. When you glorify Jesus, your spirit will leap because Jesus is the one the Spirit adores and honors. And he helps us at every path. Righteousness, justice, but the outworkings, joy, peace, the power of the Spirit are evidently and intimately available this morning.